Amen. No matter what's going on in the United States of America, we can have the joy of the Lord. I found this. Well, my wife found it. Amen. My wife prepares all my messages. Anyways. Yeah, this is what she told me to say, you know. You know, one time I was here, and I really thought that it was summertime. I was feeling good. I was really prepared. I really thought I preached it up, you know, and thought, man, you know, this is going good, you know. And afterwards, my wife and I were going to lunch, you know, and I just couldn't help myself. I just peered over at her, and I said, you know, there's not very many good speakers nowadays. And she just looked at me and says, yeah, and there's one less than you think. I'm joking. Amen. But anyway, she come across this on her Facebook connection, which I really liked it, and I was able to get it printed out. And it was encouraging predictions for 2021. With all the problems the world is facing, it can be unsettling to the mind. Today, I will share with you 10 predictions that are true for 2021. And these are the top 10 predictions. Number one, the Bible will still have all the answers. Amen. Number two, prayer will still be the most powerful thing on earth. Number three, the Holy Spirit will still move. Number four, God will still honor the praises of his people. Number five, there will still be God anointing preaching. Amen. Until the rapture, there still be some preachers out there that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Number six, there will still be singing praises to God. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Number seven, God will still pour out blessings upon his people. Number eight, there still will be room at the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Number nine, Jesus will still love you. No matter what. Amen. Number 10, Jesus will still save the lost when they come to him. Isn't it great to remember who really is in control, and that we and that the word of the Lord endures forever? Two scriptures connected with that. James 5:7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive it, the early and the latter rain. Just endure, my brothers, sisters, just endure in the Lord. This thing isn't over. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth thereof and falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. This story isn't over. We are not to the end yet. Amen. Right. Amen. Therefore, as believers, we should continue to have joy in the Lord. Joy in the Lord. You'll remember that we've been studying in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 27 and 28, Jesus said to his disciples at this dark time, this was his last night before his trial and crucifixion, and you can only imagine the heartbreak that was going on in the disciples' minds and hearts. And, you know, John 14, 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Here in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Now, I'm just so glad that my peace don't come from the television. Amen. Amen. Or from the political arena. That my peace comes from God. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And then you drop down to John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Father, thank you so much for your precious holy word this morning. I pray in these next few moments together with your people, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Thank you for what you've already did. Thank you what you're going to do, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, just a couple quotes on joy. I wrote down in the past, it says, the flag flowing from the castle of the heart is to show that the king is in residence there. I like that. We ought to have the joy of the Lord no matter, you know, don't let anybody take your joy. Jesus actually said that's a hallmark of a believer, is that they have joy and that they're, that I hate reading the word where the Lord uses the word might, because it just points directly that some don't have it. That your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John McNeil said this. He says, now since I have been converted, I am happier when I am unhappy than I was happy before I was converted. There are two kinds of people, those that cause happiness wherever they go, and those who cause happiness whenever they go. Amen. Sorry. That wasn't directed at anybody. Amen. But it's important that we have joy. Listen to what the Lord said in the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, let's just look down at two verses, verses 11 and 12. This will change your outlook or your worldview, if you will. Listen to this. He says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manners of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Boy, we see a lot of that going on. Look at what he says in verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We should rejoice. We should thank the Lord. As I mentioned last week, I talked to my pastor in Texas, Tom Campbell, and we were talking about Christian persecution. And he says, you know, I think we're starting to see real Christian persecution coming our way. We know that when we read the book of Acts, that's a history of the church in the first century. We see that they were under much persecution. The disciples were beaten, stoned, martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible, verse 52 says, the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost, and with the Holy Ghost. So I want us to see, first of all here, that true joy is from God. I kind of left off there last week. And it is possessed and given by God only. Only God can do that. You know, its roots are not in earthly or material things or cheap triumphs or secular achievements. It is the joy of the Holy Ghost, and it's based totally and solely upon the Lord. It is his very own joy. You remember, as I said in John chapter 14, where Jesus says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. See, the world has its own peace. The world wants you to buy into that peace. Did you ever think you'd live in a time where you turn on the television and you just see just so much hate? Man, it makes me want to go right to the Andy Griffith Channel. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Mayberry, huh?
Yeah.
You know, old Opie ain't too bad. I mean, he was ornery, you know what I'm saying? But not as the world giveth, I giveth unto you, and let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Only God can give you that joy. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Now we see the connection with joy and peace in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And if you're even just a casual student of the Word of God, you'll know that the fruit of the Spirit, the word is used, fruit, is singular. We're supposed to have all these attributes. But moreover, the top three are love, joy, and peace. That would be a hallmark, amen? You know, what isn't that what Jesus said? That the disciples would be known and witness to the rest of the world that they were believers because what? They love. Because they love one another. And I believe that joy is another mark of a believer. You know, we got enough to be mad about, you know. It's divine. It's based upon the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." Can you imagine? Much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing that you can get to the in such a relationship with the Lord and be so wrapped up in the Lord and His word and be filled with the Spirit that it doesn't matter what they do to your body. But they're never going to take your joy. You know, Psalms 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." It seems like a lot of us, or I'll just say me, you know, just say, it doesn't take too much to get me mad, you know, or get me to lose my joy, you know. It's terrible. We ought to be so wrapped up in Christ, amen, that doesn't matter what they say and doesn't matter what they do. Amen. They ain't going to steal my joy. I'm sharing with Sunday school class. My wife, sometimes she has a trying time at her secular job, okay? Amen. But she's on this hill. She says, "They ain't going to take my joy." Yep. "They ain't going to take my joy." Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. "They're not going to take my joy." You know, I mean, I was an employer at one time or two, you know, and I've worked on a lot of crews. Have you ever been in an environment to where you just walk in the room or you get onto the workplace and somebody shows up or somebody's there and you can say, "Ooh, they're not having a good day," right? Right? I remember one time I was at a convenience store, you know, and this dear woman should not have been at work that day. I don't know what was going on personally, but I'll tell you what, everybody was going to get it. And I just have the type of countenance that people just love to pick on me, I guess. I don't know. But I was trying to say, "Man, I'm going to have a good spirit," because I knew it was coming, you know. And I said, "Hey, do you have any of these burritos and sausage or something?" Man, she let it on me, you know. And I wasn't really walking with the Lord like I should. And my answer to her was, I said, "Hey, be mad at your job. Don't be mad at me." You know, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Man, I was heading towards the exit there pretty quick. But, you know, it's easy for us. You know, the Bible says a grievous word stirreth up wrath, you know, anger. And we know that anger begets anger, you know. And sometimes it's easy. It's easy for us to get wrapped up in that. And sometimes the sad part is it's with those that are closest to us, you know. We feel we can vent on, you know. The poor dog, you know. Don't let it happen. Amen. Number two this morning is joy does not depend on circumstance or happiness. And when I say happiness, I'm talking about worldly happiness, because happiness depends on happenings. But the joy of God implants in the believer's heart overrides all that. Even the most troublesome matters of life could come across, and you could still have the joy of the Holy Ghost. Psalms 5:11 says, "But let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, I love this. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Rich yet poor, poor yet rich. Amen? Yeah. You know, you remember the Battaglias, Don and Paul. They're precious. I don't know, some of you might not know. Don is expecting another child. Oh, wow. Isn't that something?
That is something?
So you pray for her, amen? Ooh, yeah. Wow. I mean, we just love the Battaglias, Paul and Don and Paulie and Joseph and Noel and Abby. And now the next one's coming. But I remember as they were here, and many times we'd have a Sunday night, you know, Dak and Letha were involved months with us in Sunday night studies and so on. And I remember, you know, Paul was a very accomplished doctor in Georgia and Maryland. And he moves out here. And you're going to get poor if you come to Idaho, right? Well, you know, it was during the crash and all that. And, you know, basically they lost everything. And he just struggled. He just struggled, you know. And remember, there's a lot of tears and a lot of faith. You know, he says, well, I know God's going to provide. And then he ended up having to close his business here and working for Dr. Ryan. And through that whole time, you know, it's just so hard when you see people struggle, you know, and you want to bail them out. You can't, you know, because a lot of times you're struggling yourself financially. But it was just through them whole times that they never lost their joy. They just loved the Lord. And I remember after they moved, and right now they're doing wonderful. They bought a home, and he's just back, just doing great. And he told me, Don and Paul told me, they says, you know, even though we were going through real difficult financial times, she goes, that was some of the best times of our lives. Amen. You know, because we were in the Word and family, and that's all we had. Amen. Poor yet rich, rich yet poor. And they never forgot it. And they always said, Idaho and Foundation Baptist Church will always have a special place in their heart, you know. Because, see, money can't buy joy. It can't, you know. In spite of what the world says, you watch the commercial. If you only get this, you'll be happy, right? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 7:4 says this. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joy. Oh, man. You got to turn there if you not turn there. 2 Corinthians 7:4. I mean, this will shake your cage. Here, I got another verse to go with it when we get to it. Okay, let's read it again. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glory of you. I am filled with comfort. Now here it is. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Paul says, I'm excited about this. Hey, come on now. There ain't no one suffered like that man suffered. I mean, he got his brains bashed out in Lystra, and he stood back up and walked back into town, kept preaching. Shipwrecks, beatings. He survived them all. And he says, I'm glorying in it, in all the tribulation. There was nothing that was going to take away Paul's joy. Nothing. He wasn't going to allow it to happen. You know, in Acts 20, I've shared that with you. I think I got it right here, but I'll share it if I can find it here. It's Acts 20. I'll just go out of the big book here. Amen. It's about having joy and finishing his race. Acts chapter 20. Paul said this when he was heading. He was meeting with the elders in Ephesus, in Miletus. He was headed to Jerusalem. Really, he was heading into death. They were going to kill him when he got there, right? He said this, and he says, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit," verse 22 of Acts 20, "into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." I never can get over that, Brother Chuck, you know, because if you would know, you wouldn't go. Amen. He said, "I don't know what's going to happen," right? But I think he had a sense that he was going to be killed. Verse 23, "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me." Look at this, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." Paul says, listen, I'm going to finish my course with joy. There ain't nothing going to take that from me. They can beat me, amen? They can take everything from me, but they can't take my joy. You know why he was able to do that? Because he said, "I die daily." He reckoned himself dead unto this world and even his own body, but alive unto Christ. That's what he said in Galatians 2:20, "For I am crucified with Christ." Come on now. Jesus said that if any disciple shall what? Take up his cross and follow me, right? You got to reckon yourself dead, right? He that shall save his life shall what? Lose it. But he that loses his life shall find it. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself shall be humbled. Paul was literally a dead man walking. He reckoned himself dead, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Listen, if we would get to the place to where we realize that we might not even make it till sundown, amen, but there ain't going to be nothing that takes my joy. I'm going to love the Lord, amen, and I'm going to serve him. Because you know what? I'm on his calendar. And we've seen that here. We've seen it with Terry Miller, amen. And when the doctors told Terry Miller, "You've got 48 hours, get your house in order, make your phone calls." And, call went out. If you want to see Terry before he goes to heaven, you better come down. Isn't that right, Miss Haley? Yeah. Miss Haley went down there and spent some time with him, and others did too, Wasn't that something to see him, to see his spirit like that, to face death in such a courageous way? You know why? Hey, he died a long time ago, Terry Miller did. You think a dead person that was here. Her dear husband, I talked to him last week, is in the, what do you call it? He's in the garden assisted living right now. And he can't even really put a sentence together, but we just call him and let him talk, I remember when she was about ready to out in Rathdrum and went over and visit him, she called me, she says, "You need to come out, you need to talk." And I sat down with her and Vic, and she says, "Vic's all ready to go into the assisted living." And I thought, man, that's going to be a heartbreaker. She goes, "But there's something else." I said, "What's that?" She goes, "My cancer's back." And the doctors told me I only got 5 or 6 weeks to live, whatever it was. Great night, I think that was almost the...
Yeah.
And then she smiled. She goes, "Hey, I'm going to beat this old fella to heaven." See, how do you get to that place? Deb was already dead. She was already identified with Christ, and nothing was going to take her joy. That was the last time I seen her. She went to Mexico for some treatments. That was it. She used to always sit right here.
Yeah.
Letha, she was the one that hung that sign up there. Isn't that something?
That's
why you got to keep it. Amen. Dead. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. There's nothing that's going to take my joy and my happiness. And I am going to, listen, I am going to glory in tribulation." James said it like this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." I like the way he said fall into. That means multicolored temptations, multicolored trials. You can't just wake up in the morning and say, "Okay, God, I'm ready for a trial, and I've just thought of the one I think I could handle." No, they're multifaceted. And the way he says the word fall, you can't schedule it, man. It's just like it's going to come. Some of you might get the call this week.
Or I might get the call this week, some dear loved one's got cancer or so on. Come on now, I know when you get that call, you don't think like, well, hallelujah, glory to God. But if they're a believer, that's what the Bible says we should do.
That's right.
It's crazy to think that you could go through life and go through all these trials and have the joy of the Lord, but you can. Why? Because others have did it. I remember Pastor Grant Adams. You know, I was on staff, and, you know, he was already sick. He called me, and his son pastored the church I pastored, and it was just kind of the way it worked out. We ended up going to Wyoming, and he goes, I just need you to help me here because I'm sick. You know, he lived for 2 years after that. And I remember that great preacher getting up in his pulpit. There was probably 130 people there or more. And I remember him getting up there, opening his Bible, and preaching the Word of God with the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I remember him saying to me, you remember what he said? He said, the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life is for me to get this bone cancer. I said, mercy. And the first thing I thought of, could I say that? Well, definitely not then. He's still working on me, amen? I mean, come on. The joy of the Lord. Listen to this story. This story just rattles my brain. I didn't put a date on it, but I had this story I shared with the church several years ago, and I want to share it with you this morning. It's about, I'll just read it so I don't mess it up. I'll preface it by saying this. It says, this statement I found and I want to share with you. It says, the path of life is not an easy path to walk. It's filled with all kinds of trials and temptations. Trials such as sickness, disease, accidents, disappointment, sorrows, sufferings, and death. And the temptations such as all the, and then also the temptation to sin and do evil. What we need is a guaranteed way to conquer the trials and temptations. And I believe that when James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And the word patience is endurance. But let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting, and nothing. You know, I don't know if I'm ready for what happened with Grant Adams. And I believe I'm not to the place to where I can glory in that kind of trial. But I hope I can. And you know how I can get there and how you can get there? It's just simply by endurance. The trials. By your house burning down. Sorry, I'm not making light of that. But that was a trial. And I believe, just by way of observation, the Mendozas are a lot stronger from it. What about a death of a loved one? Oh, we've all experienced that. It makes you stronger, amen, for the next trial, amen. I hope I can be like this man, too, that I'm going to read the story of. The story is just simply titled Cancer. A TV producer wanted to create a very special program. He obtained permission from cancer specialists to place cameras in his clinic. He also gained approval of three patients, two men and a woman. He captured on film the moment each of them learned they were afflicted with malignant cancer in its latter stages. Their initial shock, disbelief, fear, and anger are all there, graphically recorded in detail. Then the documentary team followed these three families through the treatment process. The film records the ups and downs, the hopes and disappointments, the pain and the terror. What is interesting is the different ways three people face their suffering. Two of them reacted with anger and bitterness. They not only fought their disease, they seemed to be at war with everyone else. Their personal relationships and even their marriages were shaken, especially as the end drew near. But the third person was different. He was a humble black man from the inner city. His love for the Lord was so profound that it reflected in everything he said. When he and his wife were told they only have a few months to live, they revealed no panic. They quietly asked the doctor what it all meant. When he explained that the treatment program and what they could anticipate, they politely thanked him for his concern and departed. The cameras followed this couple to their old car. The cameras eavesdropped as they bowed their heads and recommitted themselves to the Lord. In the months that passed, the man never lost his poise, nor his glib about his illness. He was not in denial. He simply had come to terms with the cancer and its probable outcome. He knew the Lord was in control, and he refused to be shaken in his faith. The cameras were present at his last Sunday in church. He spoke in church. He said, "Some of you have asked me if I'm mad at God for this disease that has taken over my body. I tell you honestly that I have nothing but love in my heart for the Lord. He did not do this to me. We live in a sinful world where sickness and death are the curse of man has brought upon himself. And I'm going to a better place where there will be no more tears, no more suffering, no more heartache. So don't feel bad for me." Then this frail black man began to sing unaccompanied. He sang about his confidence in God and a better life ahead. I don't know about you. That's what I want to be. Amen. No matter what the devil throws at me, he never, or I'm not ever going to allow him to take my joy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, that you're working and you're guiding and you're directing. And Lord, you never give up. Oh God, we want to thank you today, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, there's never in the history of humanity ever been a king to die for his subjects as you did, Lord. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made in the righteousness of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we are here today and many have accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your spirit and the joy. Lord, help us go out these doors and not let anything touch that. Lord, not only to have the peace, but the joy and the security of our relationship with you, Lord. Lord, be with those today that might not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that they would trust you today. The best they know how, they would just come forward. We take the Bible and show them how they can know if they were to die today, they'd go to heaven. And again, for the rest of us, Lord, help us to recommit even now to be the servants you want us to be. In these dark days that we're living in, as they're going to get darker, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us strength and endurance. Lord, help us to glory in tribulation. For it's in your name, Christ, we pray. Amen.